Well, good morning again. It's good to have you back here. I hope that today will be a day that will encourage you again in seeking the Lord and knowing Him as a good Father, knowing Him that He loves you and I right where we're at. There's been several things, again, we've gone over this week, the last several weeks, but one of the things that I just really wanted to stress with you is that the journey that we're currently on, none of us asked for. No one could have ever imagined being 8 weeks into this whole pandemic. And so I just want to just say that, you know, that's pretty normal, though, when it comes to life. God doesn't usually ask us where he thinks we should go. He usually takes us, with him. But the reality is, you know, some of us think it's going to be kind of a nice, easy ride. You know, it's a beautiful Colorado, picture of Colorado River. And it's just a gorgeous, just inviting place, right? We might think of, you know, since we can't go there, maybe this is our kind of enjoyable river, just a nice, lazy river. But here's the thing about lazy rivers. I mean, they're fun and they're relaxing, but they're not real, right? They're fake. I mean, they're just not a real place. Typically, this is what life is like. We have some little intense water. We know that there's going to be those patches that are nice and calm, and we can take in the view and just really enjoy that. But then there's moments that just absolutely kind of get ready to throw us out of the boat, and we have to adjust to it. We have to kind of figure out what's next and how do we keep moving forward and stuff. But that's, if we're lucky, we're the group, and again, a group that works together. But this, we might just be with some friends and kind of be on a ride and enjoy it. You know, we might need a helmet every now and again, depending on where we're, what river we're riding or along the journey. But it's important for us to know that we're not in it alone, and that maybe, just maybe, God will use it for His good. God will use it for something bigger than just a moment that we can just go, oh yeah, got through that. From the beginning, I've been asking us to really try to imagine what it would look like to get past the idea, to get past the emotion of just getting through this whole pandemic and actually, maybe, crazy idea, but lean into it and grow through it. That maybe God can use us for good. Maybe God can use us to help us imagine a life better with Him. And so I'd like you to think about that. One of the things I asked you last week was about how we want to become flourishing disciples, that we want to be a flourishing church, and a flourishing church has flourishing disciples, has flourishing leaders, and it's something that doesn't happen overnight, but through trials, through tribulations, through struggles, through those challenges that you and I face, and especially what our world is facing right now, we can lean into this with the Lord and grow through this. It's not easy, but it's going to take everything we got. Now, again, I asked you to think about a flourishing disciple, or kind of painted a picture of that. A flourishing disciple is mainly in three areas. One, what we think about of who is God and what God's doing in this world, of our heart being in tune with the Lord's heart, that we need a transformation from the inside out. And then it affects how we serve the world, how we serve others, how we love others. But all three of these are absolutely essential in us becoming a flourishing disciple. And this week, I don't know if you noticed, last week I just focused on the heart, and so it kind of that was in yellow. And so when I was putting my slides together, I was like, it's all three this week. This is one that encompasses all three of these. And so it's something that is not a fun word, but yet if you think about some of the best times in your life, And I mean best in the most generous sense. Like if I would say, when were you best at work, or when was the best team you had? It wasn't always because things were. In fact, most of the time in my life, it's not because things were easy. It's because we overcame something. It's because there was a challenge and we stepped up and we had what it took, or that we didn't have what it took to get through it, but we did it together, and that made us stronger to be better or to move forward in the future. Some of the greatest challenges that you and I will face will really depend on how we persevered. Did we actually get through it, or did we grow through it? It's important to kind of check how we see this thing called where we're at when it comes to perseverance. and how we evaluate perseverance. There's this a tool that I've been looking at with the staff. We've been going through some training and stuff and trying to get some clarity in who God's called us to be in our personal calling. And one of the things that we kind of were looking at was kind of how you evaluate your life and where your life is at. And so I want you to look at this. And typically we look at, you know, like a lifeline, okay, how it's broken up. And we can typically rethink about things and like look at things more of almost like a, like there were crises in our lives that we can pinpoint where we were and what happened. And we tend to look at it almost on a negative, not saying that God doesn't use that, but it's like, I don't know if that's the best way to evaluate where our life is. Okay. And another one is looking at the bio line and kind of, we typically have this going up and then you hit this and then 40 and then everything's downhill. And so some of us, I say us now, I used to not say that. That's so funny. But anyhow, being over 40 now, we might look at it as like, ooh. And now if you're after 60, I put the nice little question mark. I know you appreciate that. But I put that in there because we don't know. But is that really God's perspective of our lives? Is that really what we're supposed to look at and evaluate? I mean, that's one measure. I mean, there's something that, you know, is it that everything after 40, when you think about something medically, is more of a negotiation, kind of like, well, there's some things. If you do this, this could happen and stuff. So the reality is before 40, man, you just, you're thinking this is a great number. You know, things, hey, I'm learning, I'm growing, things are, you know, are coming together. But you hit that over 40, sometimes 40 is a big number for some people. Sometimes it's 50. Sometimes it's 60. I think Steve still had like 60 or 70th birthday or something recently. But as you go over this hill, the reality is we have to really own kind of, is this really all that God has for us? Is everything just kind of, I'm just waiting till he takes me home? I think there's a better way of looking at this. And this is called the impact line. Think of it how, again, it progresses. And I do like it. It's not just a straight line because we typically don't go from point A to point B in a straight line. No, we typically work through it. We typically start somewhere. We want to maybe get to here. And so we might have a kind of whoop and then go down and then whoop and then go down. And then we kind of just, we work our way to it. And that's where I think this impact line is. It's about when we evaluate the experiences God has allowed us to go through, that has filtered through his hands, and we have experienced it, we can evaluate and say, okay, how can I take that and impact someone with that? Who needs to hear about that lesson? Who needs to know that God is faithful when it seems like the storms are just overcoming? When you just don't, you can't see what the next step is going to hold. Is that going to hold us? How are we going to get through this? What are we going to be able to tell people in 5, 10, 20 years when we can look back and we grow, if we've grown through this, how we're going to be different because of it? I really believe that if we really pay attention, if we lean into this next, especially these next 6-8 weeks, I really think we can really be different people that might have taken us 5 or more years to have that kind of level of growth because we don't have as many distractions. We really can invest, maybe again, getting into God's word, maybe reading some really challenging, encouraging books that will help us maybe with perspective, maybe a new set of lenses. Maybe we'll start evaluating some things in this time period and go, you know, where was God when? And who needs to hear that truth? Okay, and you kind of keep going through and you look at it. So if you're breathing, God is not done with you using your story to impact others. Your story in God's story. But that doesn't just happen. I mean, not consistently. You'll have these moments where you run into someone maybe in a grocery store and just a conversation starts. And next thing you know, as you're discussing things back and forth, you know what? This is what I just learned recently, you know, kind of thing. And that's great. And God will use that. But we need to be more intentional, I think. I think for us to really, again, get the most, glean the most from this pandemic growing opportunity is to look at how is God going to use us to impact others. Now, we don't know who God's going to bring, but what if we submit to the Lord now? What if today we said, it's not about just getting through again, but Lord, help me to use this for your good. Help me to see that you're with us. And your love is almost tangible. But it's moment by moment, leaning in and trusting in the Lord. I believe, like I said last week, that we need a new set of lenses to evaluate where we're at. We need to be able to kind of peek in around the corner and say, okay, what's going on? What is God doing that we can understand and identify? And I think this text helps us do that. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 really is all about us learning to look to who God is in as a filter, okay? Look to see who God is as a filter that when we look at our trials, when we look at our struggles, that we don't just look at our problems, but we look at how God is with us and going to help us every step of the way. I had a devotional this past week that talked about, you know, you're going to have troubles in this world. In fact, if you have troubles, God's going to use those troubles to help you become who God wants you to become. And I went, that's so true. That's kind of what I was thinking about for the message and stuff. And I was just, as I was reading it, I just said, you know, there's going to be a time when we're with the Lord forever and we're not going to have these troubles anymore. We're not going to have to, Lord, I need your help here with you in heaven. No, we're going to be with the Lord and experiencing joy and love and community like we never had before. But in that time, we're going to be able to look back and we're going to remember that whole situation, how God used various times where he was good, where he stepped into our lives and helped us to realize he was for us and not against us. What would it look like if we truly believed that? So let's jump into James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, it doesn't say consider your trials joyful. Right? It's not like, I'm so glad we're all in this pandemic. No, that would be a total out of context kind of situation. James is trying to help them say, listen, in your area where you're at, you're experiencing a lot of trials, but consider it joy when you face your trials because you know, and again, I underline that, you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Think of faith as a muscle and that our trials and our testing, our tribulations, our struggles, our challenges are kind of like a workout for our faith. And faith in its most simple explanation is us trusting in God. How are we trusting in him? When life throws us a curveball, how are we trusting him? When we get thrown out of the game, how are we trusting him? When we arrive and the stadium is empty and there's no one playing, we're like, wait, what just happened here, right? I mean, because that's what really we're kind of at. Our world has been turned upside down in this pandemic. And there's a lot of pain that people are going through, a lot of loss, a lot of questions. What questions are you asking right now? Are you asking them through that filter of seeing that it's come through God's hands and he, and somehow in his wisdom and generosity, allowed your present context to occur? If he allowed it, how can we trust that he's trying to stretch us more so that we can learn to trust in him, so that we can learn to become the people God dreams of us becoming? Next week, I'm going to be talking about safe Jesus, how we all want this Jesus who's just, you know, like just our best friend and everything is just good and there's no challenges. We just want safe Jesus. We always want our prayers to be answered, you know, and everything just works out in the end. It's like a Disney movie or maybe a Hallmark channel kind of thing. That was for you, Barbie. Anyhow, but the reality is we don't have that. That's not what real life is about. And so this testing that's challenging, that's pulling us sometimes, that we think we just can't do it anymore. He continues on. Let perseverance, don't miss this, let perseverance finish its work. That if we don't let it, apparently, it can actually inhibit us growing. So that, and this is if I had your Bibles open, I would say, please circle that, underline that. Just don't miss that. Because all that he's been saying is for this moment. So that you and I may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Mature and complete. The whole focus of this trials, this testing, this pulling, this workout that we're currently in isn't just because God is bored. He's not just kind of working through it, twiddling his thing, what am I going to do today and how can I mess with their lives and God's out to get us. It's because he sees what we need to become in order to actually run the race, in order to be able to go down the river and not be thrown out of our tube or our boat. See, he uses trials to help us grow up in him. He uses trials to help us learn to surrender to him, to trust in him, to say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm looking to you. Isn't it simpler when we're younger? I mean, whether it be grade school or maybe with family and someone tells us that, you know, God's working things out. And we go, okay, sound, yeah, I believe that, sure. And then something happens and we go, God, what was that about? Why'd you let that happen? Maybe we had a bad experience with friends or maybe like a bullying situation or maybe just family dynamics just aren't healthy. And we just go, God, where were you on that? Why'd you let that happen? I can't give you any answers that really will answer some of those impossible questions. But I do know that he lets things happen so that we can work through it with him and learn to become the people God knows that we need to become. But what would it look like if we took off the robe, maybe that like if we were our own judge, maybe we need to put down the gavel and not be the judge of God. Maybe we can just learn to trust that these trials have a purpose, that he can use them to help us grow up in him, that he can use them to help us learn how to love one another and allow others to love us. I don't know if you found this, but I found this in my life. Until I learned to accept and love myself, it was really hard to let others love me. It was really hard to even be healthy in loving others. And it's that growing up in him and knowing who holds it all together, that the world really is in his hands. And he's enough to help us get us through this, that we will overcome, that we don't have to have it all together, that we don't have to figure it all out, that with him, step by step, moment by moment, humbling ourselves, seeking him out in prayer, seeking him out in community, learning to turn our focus to him. A lot of times when we are experiencing troubles or problems, we tend to focus on the problems. Here's what I found when it comes to some research, and this is like brutal kind of stuff here, but Navy SEAL training, the percentage that if they focus on their pain, or if they focus on just themselves, it's just not a matter of if, it's a matter of when they're gonna self eject, say I'm out, I can't take it anymore, I'm gonna quit. I got to quit. And it's not because they're not strong enough. It's not because they don't have enough training. It's not because they're not smart enough. If you get to that part of just even being able to be accepted into the training program, you've proven yourself. But there's that focus that can get all of us, that can trip all of us up. When we focus on our problem, on our pain, on just ourselves, it's just a matter of when we're going to just tap out. We're going to quit. And when it comes to Christianity, there is no quitting. The classic line that kind of keeps thrown in my head this week comes from a great movie. There's no crying in baseball. And it's just this whole, you know, dramatic thing with Tom Hanks and about just this whole moment that's like, wait a minute, this isn't what this is. You can't do this. And when it comes down to it in Christianity, there's no quitting. It's about us leaning in and saying, Lord, give me more faith. Give me more strength. Help me in this moment because it's so difficult. I just don't know what to do. There was a moment in my life many years ago that I didn't know what God was thinking when he let certain experiences filter through his hands into my life to the point where I just was so angry at God. And I just, to the point where I full on said out loud, I quit on you, God. And it was just like crystal clear that I could feel God say in my heart, you don't know what you're saying. Don't do that. And I just, in stupidity, immaturity, I said, oh, I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, I know what I'm saying. I just said, no, I quit. I quit on you. I know that broke God's heart. Here's the good news. God didn't quit on me. He's not going to quit on you. It's about us turning back and saying, Lord, if we've quit, Lord, forgive me and help me know how to finish the journey. Because that's really what it's about. How will we finish? Considering those lines, is it just a date that we pass? Is it just because we've gone over that 40 mark, that hill, and we're just waiting? Or maybe God's not done. And as long as we still have breath, as long as we're open to what the Lord wants to do in our lives and knowing him, becoming more what he imagines, then he will use that moment to bless others, to help others, to strengthen others. Well, we finish upside down in the water, hanging out, going, oh my goodness, will we be able to hold on, or will we be able to actually enjoy the ride? Will we be able to know that we don't have to have it all figured out, that we don't have to be perfect, but that God is on a journey with us, and he invites us into that journey to, again, learn and grow, to be stretched so that our muscles, so that our lives will be stronger in him. I think you need it. I know I need it. And I want to encourage you to stay after the service, to log in. If you've gotten our email, I know Steve mentioned it earlier, but if you've gotten our email, great, and you have the login and stuff like that, how we're going to log into Zoom. You just need a tablet or a smartphone or a computer, and you can get on there, and we can either hear you or hear you and see you, and a good chance for all of us to gather together. Won't be long, but right after the service, we'll start about 5 minutes after, and then we'll get together and be a part of what God wants to do. And so we'll be kind of picking apart this message. You can tell me how bad it was, or, oh, you really messed up here. That's fine. I need it. I need to be stretched, right? But the reality is it's about us meeting together, being encouraged, get a chance to say hi to everyone. Maybe it's been a few weeks since you've seen everyone. Maybe it's been even maybe a couple months. But this will be an opportunity for us to say hello, but also, again, to gather, to be encouraged, to learn to lean in together in this. I hope you'll join us. If you didn't get it, again, please, 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 please email us and let us know that you need all the link and the credentials and everything like that to do it. Now, if you have trouble this time, just let us know and we will work with you. I met with someone this past week, getting them set up on their laptop to make sure that they can get online and no problem. We're happy to do that in this time, especially we want to help you connect. But know this, you don't have to have it all figured out, but we're gonna work with you, and we hope you'll work with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I know that we still have more in our service to go. We're going to be singing your praise, and we're going to gather together again for the benediction. But Lord, hear our prayer now. We know you meet us where we're at. We know that you want us to know you personally, to be the people you've called us to be risen up in you, to know that your faith in us is enough, that you give us your Spirit in us to help us in the journey, to persevere, to not just try harder, but again, and trust more, to know that you're with us every step, to lean on you, to lean on others. And so, Lord, give us that courage to lean in. Help us to gather together, if we're able, through the, again, this online connection. But, you, Lord, use it to help us grow up in you. We pray for all those who are hurting, all those who are sick. We pray for all those experiencing loss and grief from the passing of a loved one. We ask, Lord, that you would meet them in their pain, help them in their loss. May your promise of presence be just tangible for them. And Lord, we pray for our leaders. We ask that you would give them wisdom beyond their years. Help them, Lord. Help them be and lead from with wisdom and favor from you. Lord, we give you and trust in you in this, because it's not about us trying to make it all work, but it's about us learning to trust in you. Remember that this was your idea, and you taught your disciples to pray to you by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." I'd like to invite you now to join in our song of praise.